This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. The game starts here.
What's up, Tiger fans? Welcome back to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. I am the Corey C, along with KC 1400. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I told you we had a lot cooking. We got a great guest today, so make sure you follow the show and tell every Tiger that you know. And remember, when you support Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, it all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. KC in the building. What's going on, man?
What's up, the Corey C? Happy to be back on, man. You've been working, man.
Hey, man, we've been working. Don't put it all on me. It's that time, man. The people want it, so we got to deliver. We got to bring it to them.
Absolutely, man. Happy to have our guest on today. Been looking forward to sitting down and talking with him, and I'm pretty sure the fans will be happy to see him on and hear what he got to say.
So let us know who it is. Well, they already know who it is, but introduce him, because you're the reason. You're the main reason why he's on.
I think we're going to talk about why.
We'll talk about why, but
we'll go ahead and add him. And we want to welcome to the coach. Welcome to the show, wide receiver coach, Coach Vincent Marshall. There he is. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. Everything going?
Yeah, everything's good. It's been fun. Jackson, Mississippi's treated me well. And so, like I said, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you for hopping on with us, man. We've been looking forward to getting you on. We already had talked about it. We wanted to make sure our schedules aligned. But then when shout out to Austin and the media team, I think he mic'd you up recently, man. And we got to talk about that, man, because word out on the street, man, you out here, you don't know. Not only do you recruit outside of Jack State, but it looked like you recruiting inside the house too, man. So we got to definitely talk about that.
Absolutely. I always recruiting, but biggest thing for me is just to make competition in the receiver room. I think that's the biggest way to make everybody around us better. And So I'm big on it. The receivers know the best will play. How do you make the best? You got to bring the best in. So biggest thing for me is always just competition, creating competition. And to me, sometimes that's adversity. Mm-hmm. And so the better we get in the receiver room, the better we can display on Saturdays.
I agree.
We want to hear about this receiver room because you said that the best will play. We've got a lot of guys who feel like they're the best, so it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But first, let's talk about you. We want to hear your story. Take us back as far as you want to go. Take us back. Tell us, I guess, about your football journey.
Well, originally from Ennis, Texas. So I played, Texas high school football. Played in Ennis High School, and we won two state championships. So we pretty good team, I would say. From there, went on to play football at the University of Houston. But actually, to get there, I ran track. So I was a walk-on at the University of Houston. I went there to play, actually went there to run track. Did not plan on playing football again. Wow. Once I got there, but was, talked to the head coach that was there, Dana Demmel, at the time, and he allowed me to walk on. And so from there, my first year as a walk-on, again, you work your butt off to try and start, and he ended up getting fired there. And then Art Bras came in my second year at the University of Houston. Again, walked on again and earned my scholarship there my sophomore year. Played football 4 years at the University of Houston. I also ran track. And then from there, got an opportunity to play for the Falcons. Got cut there, went to the CFL for 3 years. And then from there, just got into coaching.
Wow, man. That's I mean, Texas high school football is probably it's up there. It's tops in the nation. I mean, you know, living in Texas, living in Austin, Texas, living around two big powerhouse programs, Westlake, Lake Travis, even Cedar Park. But, you know, Ennis is one of those programs. But getting a chance to go over to play at Houston, I know you're coming off a little humble. I think somebody told us that you're a record holder over there. So you gotta expand a little bit more about what you were able to do on the football field. Cause you know, I know you got into coaching and we'll expand a little bit more about your coaching career, mm-hmm. but as a player, you said quite a bit to even get a chance to get to the Falcons, whether you made the roster or not, and playing over the CFL, it's not easy to get to that next level, professional level playing football. But, what records do you hold over there, Houston, as a wide receiver?
It's not bragging if it's the truth. So keep that in mind. Just tell it. it's telling the truth.
When I left there, I think I had the receptions and yards record when I left the University of Houston. And obviously, for sure, wasn't easy. Especially being, I thought I was 5'9", but come to find out I was not 5'9". I was 5'7". And so for me, biggest thing there was, you know, kind of what my mom would always tell me, you got to be a respect of time. Mm. And so while you're there, you're either getting better or you're not. And so for me, that time was finding ways to just get better every day. And it wasn't, to me, it's always easy to get better when everything's going right. You feel like doing it. I think the biggest thing for me was those days that were tough. Honestly, I didn't feel like going to work out. Those were the days I had to get better. And so I've always, again, been a firm believer that the days you don't feel like working, those are the days you really get better. Those are your like breakthrough days for me. Mm. When you can go out there and work, and it may not be pretty. It's probably going to be ugly, but go out there and work and get better. Those are the days, like I said, those are your breakthrough moments. And the more you have of those, the better you get.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. One thing that we talk to the players about a lot when they come on the show, we talk to them about, you know, we ask them what are their plans after football, because at some point your playing days will end. So for you, obviously you went on to play professionally, but when did you know it was time to hang it up and how did you transition into coaching?
To be honest with you, I didn't have the love to play after a while. And I knew then, you know, it was time to hang it up. And for me, after football, I was going to be a teacher. That was what I was going to do, and maybe coach football, but I was for sure going to be a teacher. My mom was in the education system from probably when I was born till she passed. My oldest brother, he is a superintendent in Avalon, which is a small school outside of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And my sister is a principal. So it was just kind of one of those things where I love watching my mom and how she kind of interacted with students. And I knew, hey, I want to do that too. And so after football, I was going to be a teacher. That was kind of what my thing was. But because of football and my love for it, it was easy to say, hey, you know what? I can do both. I can go be a teacher and be a coach. So that was my thing after football.
Quick follow-up before you go, Ken. I'm pretty sure you have some, but I just wanted to touch on that. Obviously, the teaching. Is that something that you implement into the coaching? Because it's funny, we had Jay Dupree on the show recently, and he talked about how you break down the little things that the, you know, players typically don't see. So are you able to kind of add that, incorporate that into your coaching?
Oh, absolutely. I think teaching is what really helped me to be a coach. And so for those guys, they know the little things those are the things that make big things happen. If we can't do the little things right, we can't look for big moments. And so for me right now, especially the summer, you know, kind of watching those guys grow, because, you know, even Dupree, he's doing a really good job. He's working his butt off. And for me, that's the biggest thing. Do that for me and after that, you know, the big things, like I said, are happening. As a player, they'll get better.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Coach, let's talk about when you first got your first coaching opportunity. Let's go through your resume, and we'll build up to the Jackson State part. We know you come to us from a great HBCU program over in Norfolk, Virginia. But let's talk about that first opportunity and kind of walk us through your resume and your coaching breakdown of your career.
Well, I started at a high school in Seguin, Texas. That was my first job.
San Antonio.
Yeah. Went there and I coached the secondary. And from there, I went to a small NAIA school in Waxahachie, SAGU, Southwestern Assembly of God University, where I also coached the secondary. And from there, I got my first college job, collegiate job at Bowling Green State University, where I coached my first year, I coached the receivers. So as GA coach, really the outside receivers. And from there, went to Syracuse with the same coach, Coach Babers. Mm-hmm. From Syracuse, went over to University of Houston, where I worked with in recruiting. And from there, this is a journey. So y'all just kind of walk with me here. From the University of Houston, I went to Missouri Southern, where I coached running backs and worked special teams. From Missouri Southern, I went to Southern University. I actually took a year off for medical reasons, just kind of found out I was a type 1 diabetic at 6 years ago. So took a year off, and then from there went to Southern University in Baton Rouge and worked with Coach Odoms. Went from Southern to Norfolk, where I was there for 3 years, and then Norfolk to here.
Okay. So you followed Coach Odom too. You went there with him, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you tried to, okay. Talk about, I mean, you mentioned, you know, a number of different schools. Who are the coaches you kind of look to, or who have been your biggest mentors over the course of your career?
Honestly, my biggest mentor is probably Jason Phillips. He's a receiver coach at Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that coached me when I was in college. So it's, I learned a lot from him. Biggest thing, like, coaching and really just playing underneath him was just, again, the little things. What are you doing that somebody else isn't doing? Because we all want to go to the NFL, but we all do the same thing. We all work out. We all had to go to class. But what are you doing extra? What separates you from somebody else at another school? And so, again, the little things were, I'm going to probably beat that in these receivers' head. Hey, what are you doing? What are the little things you're doing? How are you? What makes you different from somebody else? And so once we figure that out, then we'll know kind of how good we are and where we're going in life and in football.
I'm always amazed, Coach, at the kind of that full circle. I remember when Coach Jason Phillips came to Jackson State a few years ago with Coach Prime as the wide receivers coach. They were in Atlanta together. They shared those stories. And you mentioned you got your opportunity in Atlanta. That's actually pretty cool. So I want to get to when the Jackson State opportunity came about. I know that head coach T.C. Taylor is a record holder. Jackson State came in as a quarterback, transitioned to wide receiver, and was one of the legendary wide receivers that played. And now we get you to come over here. We were excited to get you, but let's kind of, for what you can share, talk about just when that opportunity arise and kind of how that conversation went about and what went into your mindset as far as leaving Norfolk to come over to Jackson State.
Well, when I talked to TC, because it was really the first person I talked to was Coach O. And so when he kind of texted me, I was kind of shocked because I knew nobody over here. So I didn't know how they got my information. I didn't know, like, hey, what made them think, hey, let me talk to Coach Marshall and try to bring him over. But when I did, I actually talked to Coach O, and I was in England at the time, watching my son play futsal, which is just indoor soccer, basically.
Yeah.
But when he reached out to me, it was one of those deals where I was like, oh, okay, Jackson. First of all, I knew about Jackson. And so I was like, hey, if they give me an opportunity, I'm gonna talk to my wife about it. And my wife, she is from Baton Rouge, so
okay.
Her biggest thing is her family.
Okay. Oh yeah,
Southern all day, every day. It's they love Southern. Her sister graduated from Southern, and so you know, obviously, that was a little touchy subject. But but when when the opportunity came, it was easy. My wife was like, you know HBCU football, you know Jackson. And so I talked to Coach O, and then I ended up talking to Coach TC when I was actually in France. So it was like we were kind of in this soccer thing with my son, and like I said, I didn't know anybody, but I mean, obviously gracious, and I had a ton of gratitude when, you know, they reached out and mm-hmm. I talked to my wife and, you know, asked my wife, you know, what do you think about the opportunity? For me, in my mind, I already knew kind of where my head was. Hey, this, we got to take it. But I wanted to talk to her and see kind of how she felt about it, because, you know, as a coach, I was in Norfolk for 3 years. So my son went there, played soccer, and, you know, met friends. And so it's always, my biggest thing is kind of where they, you know, what do you guys want to do? Because we're going to do this together. And so my wife was excited about the opportunity, and she excited. Mm-hmm. Now you got to go to my son. Hey, Landon, what do you think about this opportunity? And I'll be honest, you know, it's always tough on him because his friends are in the beach. And so, you know, once we talked to him and he kind of got on board, it was pretty simple. It was let's go ahead and do this, because, you know, this school here has a lot of prestige to me, a lot of respect, ton of respect, especially for me. And, you know, from, like I said, my wife. But once she agreed, once my son was kind of like, Dad, you know, I want to go with you, I was like, this is easy. Let's go. And so, you know, ever since then, it's kind of been, once we accepted that from Coach TC, it was kind of like, hey, let's go make this thing work, you know, and let's make sure, again, you probably gonna hear me say it a million times, let's go ahead, get there, and let's take our time. And if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it right. And so, again, I'm with pure gratitude. I'm excited to be here, but I'm thankful that, you know, Coach TC thought that I was good enough to be here, because there are a ton of coaches in this world and in the U.S. that would love to be here. And when I got the job here, you know, a lot of guys reached out to me and was like, hey, man, you know, how? And I was like, you know what? I'm blessed to be here. So it's not something that I take for granted. Coaching these young men, I don't take it for granted at all either, because, again, somebody else could be in this seat. This is not a seat that I think is easy, but that's why I'm here. I love it. I love the pressure that is put on us as coaches, but I also take that same pressure and tell the receivers, what are we going to do differently? Because I wasn't here in 2023, but I'm here now. And there were games that were won, there were games that were lost, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Because at the end of the day, we got to do this thing together. What are we going to do differently? And there's a lot for me to clean up as far as what we can do better. And I think that the receivers have truly taken that and gotten better. And it's just, you know, again, it's small, but just gotten better every single day. So, like I said, I'm blessed to be here, because somebody else really could be sitting in this seat.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coach, Corey, before you go, let me throw one thing in there. I think it's perfect timing for it. And I'm saying this, Coach, because I remember at the end of the season, we was doing recruiting Tiger Talk. We were part of the recruiting weekend. And, Corey, you remember we was at the team hotel, and we're sitting down talking to Coach TC, and without, you know, disclosing – much, it was more of how he felt. And he told me straight out of his mouth, he said, Ken, you know that wide receiver room is near and dear to my heart, man. Yeah. Like, I gotta get somebody in here, man, that I know gonna really take this thing to the next level. Cause I know he really didn't feel like we felt like we underachieved at that position in 23. I don't think I'm saying anything out of the way. I think it was pretty evident with the amount of talent that was in the room and him feeling like the expectations just weren't there. I thought, you know, when he brought you in, that's what made it say, you know what? I know Coach really thinks highly of the coach that he brought in. Cause even when, before he even announced you, Coach, he wasn't in no hurry. He was taking his time from what it seemed like, you know. He was like, I got it until then. And it makes a lot of things make sense when you share what you shared. I just wanted to throw that out there because I just thought it was the perfect timing. And then from that, the little bit of time we've been able to kind of observe, you know, we can see, you know, your approach has been stellar. But, you know, what do I know? Go ahead, Corey. I just want to throw that. There's a lot I want to say because I think it makes sense to me now. You know what I mean? The little things, the way you coach the game, talking to some of the guys in your room and seeing it, I can see now, you know, the little things. And that's one thing that stuck out to me. I was like, man, Coach really – I like Coach's approach. And that's without me even knowing you, just kind of sitting back. You know, when we're there, we don't want to make no noise. We don't want to be no distraction. We just want to be a fly on the wall out the way and just kind of observing that. It's just been a treat.
Yeah. Well, man, shout out to Coach TC and his ability to identify the individuals who he wants on his staff and then go out and get them. Yeah. I mean, a similar story with Coach James. We had him on the show. When a new coach is hired, we always look at their resume and try to make the connection. Like, oh, okay, well, Coach TC played with him back in there or coached with him back at this school. So we didn't see that direct connection. It was the same with Coach James. He said he's in a meeting in Florida, the Florida Gators, and he gets a phone call from, I think it was TC or Coach, I want to say TC, and TC, things kind of went from there. And then you're saying how did they get my number? So for him, again, with the intent to go out and identify the coaches that he wants on the staff, that says a lot about him, and he knocks it out of the park. TC is a great talent scout, not just players, but also coaches, because by my count, I think 6 coaches from last year's staff moved on, which that may sound like a negative, but to me, that means that other schools wanted them, and that tells me that they must be pretty good coaches. So TC is putting together, obviously, has put together a great coaching staff, and he was faced with the task of rebuilding that staff because so many coaches moved on. So it all goes back to, again, him being a great evaluator of talent. So a lot of new faces in that coach's room. So, Coach, talk about how this all come together as far as the camaraderie and you guys gelling.
So for me right now, I think the receiver room, and just like I said, I'm definitely blessed because, man, like I said, Coach TC could have brought in anybody. But for us right now, as a room, it's a ton of competition. I mean, I think we got I think we have talent. I mean, at the end of the day, but, you know, talent sounds good until you put it on the field. And so for me right now, it's really about just taking these young men and really seeing, okay, again, what are you doing differently? Are we disciplined? Because that's a huge thing for me. My biggest pet peeve is to go out there and to go out and put a bad product on the field. And the biggest thing is, like, again, when I go person by person as far as the receivers in the room and really trying to mix the talent in the room, what are we doing differently than anybody else in the country or in the SWAC in general? And so for me right now, it's just the little things. Okay. Discipline. Okay. When we get into that game, do I have to worry about you getting a 15-yard penalty? Are you going to go out there? Are you going to talk trash to this guy? Now, the same person you talking trash to, is he going to take you out of your game? And so right now, that's really the only thing I'm looking at. These guys are out here running and pushing this weight. Again, what are we doing differently? What are you doing differently? Are you respecting time? Because again, I'm a huge, if nothing else, if you come to Jackson State, the first thing we're going to do is make sure these grades are right. Because if I'm pouring into you, we both got to get somebody this. If we're just going to be honest and put it out there on the table, we both get somebody this. You know, what you're going to get is you're going to get a chance to use your time wisely. and work your way to the field. Because again, to me, all I can do is look at now, and I wasn't here in 2023. And so now that I have the ability and I'm blessed to be here, my biggest thing is to make sure that we are squeezing every drop out of each person. And the only way to get that done is first, we got to pass our classes, got to get the work done. And again, I'm real big on like the karma deal. And when I say the karma deal is, if you're not working to help these young men in life and to graduate, and the only thing you see is football, then God will take care of the rest, because now you're just using young men. That's it. And so for me, it's just big on, okay, guys, let's get these grades. And since I've been here, I will say, you know, we got here, and obviously guys are going to struggle in some type of classes unless, you know, they're just scholar athletes. But I can say that they have really, I guess, bought into what I've asked them. And sometimes it's not asking, you know, but they've bought into what I want. And really what I want is for those guys to succeed. And the only way, one, to succeed is classwork. Let's get this class. Let's do that right. Because I don't want you to get here, spend 4 to 5 years of your life, and you get nothing out of the deal. If the only thing you got was some stats, I ain't do it right. We didn't do it right. And we are in this together. At the end of the day, we in this together. And so I will say it's been a joy to watch these guys really evolve in the classroom and then evolve in the football classroom part of it. And so they really have, like I said, they've grown up. And again, it's, you know, it's been, as a coach, you know, you're a guy that you're going to push them, you're going to pull them, you're going to drag them. But at the end of the day, you will always be right there next to them. And whether they like you some days, and it's probably going to be like that with me, they're going to like me some days, they're not going to like me some days. But at the end of the day, like I tell them, like, I'm here for you. Like, my job is to serve, and it's not a job that I take lightly. So if you're at Jackson State and you're in the receiver room or you're on this team, the one thing I can really say I appreciate is that our head coach is really about watching these young men succeed. It's really, yeah, trust me, we got to win. Don't get me wrong. It's we know that, but the standard is still the standard. And I can say that I really do appreciate Coach TC for just, again, putting a standard out there, putting a vision out there, and telling the coaches, this is what it is. This is the vision. This is the standard. And now go out there and get your room, hold it accountable, but just understand that at the end of the day, like, these men they need to walk across that stage. And for me, that's like the best thing, to watch a young man go from, man, it's tough sometimes and in the classroom, and it's tough sometimes on the football field, but to really watch them evolve and really watch them, again, get better in steps every day, it's a beautiful sight. For me, it's beautiful to watch. And like I said, it's beautiful to just watch TC put his vision on these guys and to watch it, you know, flourish.
There's no, I don't think there's no mystery in, you know, you having that education background, that education wouldn't be primary for you, for your guys in that room. So that's definitely a treat to hear. In your estimation though, coach, from the levels, like, you haven't gotten to a game yet, so definitely wouldn't ask from a progressionary standpoint, but based off the small details that you've, you know, demanded of the guys in your room, who are some of those guys from day one, from the time that you got there up until, I would say, today, that you've really seen buy in and have really evolved in the direction in which you like to see them at the level that we are? I know we don't have the pads on. There's no real routes, no real practices going on, but just from the little things, because this is when you win in the fall this time of the year. Who are some of those players that have stuck out? And I have to name all of them, I know. But just from your estimation, those who have stuck out in your room so far.
Well, that's tough, because I, to be honest, I really feel like as a group, I'm big on no man left behind.
Okay.
And so to watch everyone, and I say everyone, but in the receiver room, that's tough because I really feel like we're all moving together in the right direction.
Okay.
So to like really single one out and say, well, hey, this guy here is doing better than everyone else, it's tough because it's a real true competition. These guys are really like, it's like a boxing match. They are out here slugging. Now they just boom, boom, and it's all of them. But it's a beautiful sight. You know, it's obviously ugly when you out there watching those guys putting in the ugly work. And I always say ugly work because, man, when you're in the weight room and you pushing that weight, it ain't pretty.
Yeah.
But it's not meant to be.
Right.
But, I think they're all trying right now. And they're trying. Let's just say that. They're trying. They're doing their best every day. And so it's tough to single anybody out because, like I said, I watch guys go out, run, and today is one person. Today is another person. So it's I love it because, being a walk-on, being a former walk-on, you watch some of the walk-ons, and they're like, okay, they had a good day today, man.
Yeah. And,
you know, tomorrow it may be, you know, a senior. I think Fabo is what I call him, but I think he's gone out, he's worked. I think Rico has gone out and worked, you know. Yeah. And so that's why I say it's tough to go out and say this guy's doing that, but doing better than this guy, because tomorrow be a totally different story. But what I will say is collectively as a group, I love where the receivers are going. And I think that they've all, in some way, shape, or form, shown why they're here. I get it now, you know. And so, like I said, going in from the spring ball to now, and now getting into the summer, you start to realize, okay, there's a reason you're here. I see it. And now I think that they're getting to a point to where they're being more of a consistent C. And so they're doing things more consistently. And I think that. I know that, you know, at the end of the day, as a group, you know, I hate to, like I said, just say, hey, this guy's doing better than this guy. I just think that right now the competition, no pads, I love where we're going. Mm-hmm. But when we put those pads on, we're going to figure it out. I promise you. We're going to do it together, but we're going to figure out where we are. But yeah. I love where we're going. I really do. I love where we're going. I think these guys are really putting a ton of hard work in, but I also think that they understand the competition, but they're helping each other out. For now, they know if we're only as good as our weakest link, and so they're doing a good job. I will say that, doing a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine how hard it is to single anyone out of that room, because that's a loaded group. And I'll go ahead and say it, we have an FBS level wide receiver room. I'll say it. So I can imagine the competition. I can't wait to see how everything comes together. But I want to get your thoughts on another position. And as a wide receiver, as a former wide receiver, and of course, as a wide receiver coach yourself, I know you love having a dominant running game. And you said that you coached running backs at a previous stop, but having a dominant running game really opened things up for you. So I talked about how deep the wide receiver room is, but the running backs room as well, just as loaded. So talk about that group and just how important they're going to be to what you're trying to get done this season.
Well, for the running back, if we can't run the ball, we're going to have a problem. The run game is for sure going to help the passing game. And so that running back room, Lord Jesus, you want to really talk about competition?
Yeah.
I know you have guys that played, and I watched 2023. I went back and I've watched every game from 2023.
Okay.
And you watch the guys who started, I'll say that, last season. And then you watch the guys that are running this summer. Listen. Listen. Whoever straps those boots up and starts for Jackson State in 2024, let me tell you something. They earned it. They earned it. And it's not a they were great this day. They were great this day. They were literally consistently good. Because I'm really big on be consistently good, not occasionally great. I can't wait on greatness, but what I can say is if you're consistently good, greatness will follow. And so, Lord, that running back room gonna be something to watch now. It's gonna be it's we got some running backs. We got a couple. And so it's gonna be good to watch. It's the competition is great to see. But again, that running back room gonna be something. It's gonna be something. It's gonna be something to watch.
I think when we say that, people think we got our blue and white glasses on. They think we just fanning. But now I try to tell them, I say, man, this is running back you know, the late great Walter Payton and all I can go on and on and on, Destry Wright, Lewis Tillman. I could go on for days with running backs, but this is a very impressive room, as you stated. Just love the level of talent that's there. And it will be interesting to see who strap up and who starts, and we're all chomping at the bit. We start the season, Coach, down at ULM. I know we're a little ways away from that. Talk about, getting ready to prepare going into that first game. Right now, everyone's preparing for game one. Mm-hmm. Every little thing that you guys do is in preparation for August the 29th. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, we're going into the Sun Belt country down to Louisiana Monroe. 2 years ago, we played them. 3 years ago in 21, we lost that game 12-7. We really should have won that game. We really should have. We just couldn't score another touchdown. But have you had any chance to really kind of look at that schedule? And now I know you said your wife was a Southern. We already know that game is circled. Southern is coming to Jackson. ESPN Plus, 1 p.m. is going to be hot. But I hate that game's at 1 p.m., but I digress. Have you looked down the road, start looking at the schedule just a little bit to see, okay, we opened up at ULM, and I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of your mindset and preparation for that FCS, HBCU, FBS matchup going into a season.
So for me right now, everything is in preparation for ULM. And for me, I don't like to look ahead. I like to just be like, I want to make sure I say this right. There's like an arrow on that game. There's really no one else for me to look forward to. And so I look toward that game, and I think it's a big game for us. I think it's a huge game, especially for the guys that feel like they want to make it to the next level. That's who you have to go through first. So, and I couldn't tell you much about ULM. I've done a lot of research on them. These guys are coming back from 2023. But I think for us right now, that's the only game that I'm really looking forward to. Now, can I tell you much about them right now? No. As you look and you prepare, they have a lot of guys coming in. They got a lot of junior college athletes. They got a lot of transfers. But, for me right now, I can't tell you much about them other than they have a lot of, I would say, older guys and that will be playing most likely. Again, transfers, junior college, but I couldn't tell you much about them, to be honest with you, because I don't want to get into them right now because I'm so focused on us and what we're trying to do as a football team.
Mm-hmm. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You mentioned that they have a lot of JUCO guys coming in. It's funny because a lot of those JUCO guys that they have, they were going head-to-head with us. We went to battle with them on a number of different recruits because they recruited heavily right here in Mississippi. So I want to talk about their recruiting piece on our end as well. And not to skip past the season, but I'm really looking forward to the 2025 recruiting class, Jackson State. And that's just based on what I'm seeing on social media. Seeing you guys getting out there on the road and then the offers that are going out. And we see guys recruiting. We see you guys recruiting some top-tier kids. So I want to know what's the general reception like when you're out there recruiting for Jackson State? Because we like to think that we built a pretty solid brand. So what's the perception out there?
You know what? The Jackson State is actually respected. Like, when I was on the road, I loved it. I loved walking into high schools, and it was – when you walked into high school, they saw that J, they knew exactly what it was. So it was, man, I would say it was, first it was interesting because again, this is my first year here. And I got here in February. So it was kind of like, hey, I got here and then you hit the ground running. Yeah. But to walk into those high schools and the coaches, the love that you received, like it was, like I said, I loved it. It was, at first it was interesting because, you know, you don't know what reception you're going to get. But when you were on the road, and obviously me and recruiting and walking into Texas high schools, you know, you don't know the reception because, again, my first time here. But, the love that was shown was good, man. It was great to walk in and to be treated just like I was in Alabama. There was no, like, I didn't walk into, and I really truly mean this, so let me just put it out there. I didn't walk into one high school where I felt like belittled or, oh, nah, you FCS. Like, there was nothing like that. Everybody was like, hey, man, come on in. Come here. From the head coaches to the offensive coordinators, like, everywhere I walked in, it was just, guys shook your hand and dragged you into school. Man, let me show you this guy. And it was even your top guys. Like, I went to a school in Mesquite, I'll say that. And coach was like, hey, this is a big time player. And he was. And it was cool to walk into a high school and find out that this kid's grandmother went to Jackson State.
Mm.
And it was like, but the coaches wanted you to know that when you walked in there. So it was like, wow. I was like, wow, you know, this is cool. You know, and as I do my background on guys, obviously, you want to know if they have anybody that went to Jackson State.
Right.
And as I went through and talked to coaches, they made, you know, though you started to find out real early. His mom went to Jackson State. So it was, like I said, it were a couple of guys, recruits out there that they wanted you to know, hey, man, my mom went there. Or, you know, my grandma went there. Or my uncle went there. So honestly, I really felt the love. And just the respect, because I've been places where if you walked into school, they were like, you don't have a chance. But I didn't feel that when I walked into the high school. So it was very, very cool. It was fun. But I just love that we were respected everywhere we went. Everywhere I went, I would say personally, everywhere I went, respect.
Good deal. Coach, and with that, I mean, I think a good place to take this. I was thinking about this. College football changing a lot of, and right within our own eyes, we can see. We saw the Pac-12 dissolve into nothingness. Now there's this Big Four. A lot of things are changing with NIL. Man, pay for play. That's been going on, but now you're talking about revenue sharing amongst these big. These big Power Four schools or whatnot. Just kind of in your own words, talk about your thoughts on the changes of yesteryear up until now, and what's your thoughts on the changes and how that affects the small guys, like I said, the FCS, HBCU level. Even though we're going to do our thing, we're going to go for it regardless, but just kind of in your own words from your observation of the changes that are happening in college football. what's your thoughts on what you're seeing happening right now?
Well, really with the dissolve of the Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever it was, I think it's good for us right now. I know it's a lot. I know those guys are getting paid, but with your power four now, because that's really what it comes down to, there will be some type of trickle effect. And I don't think it's going to be bad for us. But I also feel like at some point, people are going to have to move up too. Because with those power, I guess you want to call it your power four. Okay, so what do you have now? Because you're going to need something to move up. Now, do I know who will move up? No, I don't. But I know that if you have a huge fan base, there will come a time where they're going to have to look at you and try and figure out, we want that fan base. Everyone wants to. When you look at on ESPN and you look in the stands, you do not want to keep bringing up teams that don't have anybody in the stands. That's not a good look for anybody. Yeah. And it's not a good look for ESPN to look in the stands and not see people. So I really think it's going to be, and again, I can only speak for Jackson State, but I think it'll be good for us at some point in time. Now, when, I couldn't tell you. But I do believe it's going to be good at some point for Jackson State, because you can't look at an FCS who's been a leader in attendance since 2018 and not say, we want a piece of that. So it's something that in time, again, I can't tell you when that time is, but in time, you're going to have to look at Jackson State and try and figure out either you want us or you don't. But when you're the leader since 2018 in attendance, it's hard not to look at us and not.
So I got so many things I want to go. Corey, real quick. So what would you say to those who might say, Coach, Jack State, we don't want to move up by ourselves. Let's move up with a collection of schools. You know, like, I think the opportunities are there. Don't even get Zoe started, our other counterpart with Tiger Talk. But do you feel like moving up and kind of maybe losing out on those traditional HBCU games could affect the decision like that? Or do you think it's probably would be more advantageous for us to go as a group? And I know that there's a lot that goes into that, a lot that would have to happen. That would, but just kind of just hypothetically, because what you're saying is spot on. I think Jackson State is an FBS school in FCS clothing. We've always said that. And we're one of one. We can do some things that others can't do. And that's not being braggadocious. That's just calling it what it is. You said it. We 6 years in a row, 30,000 plus in attendance. But then you got a school like a Missouri. Missouri?
They just moved up.
Yeah. Missouri State, something like that, haven't had but two winning seasons in 12 years. I mean, may average 8,000 fans. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of that stuff. Just kind of your thoughts on, do we go solo, or do we try to take some of the folks with us? What's your thoughts on that? And then we'll move on.
You put me on the spot there.
No right or wrong answer. We just throwing it around. It's barbershop talk right now, you know?
I think with our fan base, would you like to bring somebody along with you? Yes. But we are we have the fan base. So it's tough to say, hey, come on, come with us, when it's almost like you're bringing somebody along with you, but we the one with the fan base. Like, why are we bringing you with us? Like, that's tough for me. And again, for me to wear this shirt and to wear this gear and to see the fans, and when I go out and I'm eating at restaurants, the fan base is the fan base. Yeah. So it's hard for me to bring somebody else along, because I just feel like now you just eating off us. And again, that's just me from a personal, since I've been here, standpoint. So it's tough. I can't say let's bring somebody else along when you eating off us. Again, this is personal. This is me being a part of this and seeing it from the outside in. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the fan base and, you know, what it takes to be appealing and attractive, to, you know, even just to be on ESPN and things like that. So it was recently announced that we do have 9 games that will be broadcast on the ESPN, the family of networks. So what are your thoughts on that and what does that do for, especially for recruiting?
I think it's big. I think it's huge. When you have exposure like that, I think it's big because at the end of the day, like these young men, they work to be where they are. And to have that many games on ESPN is big for the brand. It's big for these young men in the program and where they're trying to, what they're trying to do and accomplish as far as getting to that next level. This is how you get there. You got to still go out there. You still got to play. You still got to make the plays. But to get that type of exposure, we got to take advantage of it. We got to take advantage of it. And I really and truly believe, I believe they will. I really do.
Corey, I believe that if we do what the goal is, we'll be on TV 11 times this year. We'll have 11 games on TV. That's the SWAC Championship and the Celebration Bowl.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, man, at the end of the day. I know we won't get ahead of ourselves, but, I mean, I think I say this all the time. From what I've seen, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I just think we got everything we need in-house to make it happen, but it's going to come down to us, how well we prepare and get ready for it. It's going to be a great season, I think. Kind of what's that one thing, Coach, you're looking forward to? I would say first game coaching in the vet. Just talk about, you know, that one thing that you think about when you get ready for the season that make you say, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for that moment. What's that? What that look like for you?
To be honest with you, probably that just – the first game of the season.
Okay.
Because at that time, you have now worked and now you have said that, hey, we have put it together. This is the product we're going to put on the field. And so really that first game to just walk out of that tunnel, whichever tunnel that be, ULM, but to bring all these young men together and to again watch them from spring and again to that point, I just believe that it'll be fun, but it'll be like you put all this work in, now it's time. There's no coming back from there. And so obviously now for me, the first game in the vet is always, that's gonna be it for me. Like I cannot wait for that. But before I get there, ULM.
Love it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Coach, we appreciate you. We appreciate your time. We'll let you get back to it. We see you in the office. We thought you may be at home, right? But no, you're in the office. We logged on in the middle of notes, so we don't want to interrupt you anymore. But we do want to get you out of here on this note. A message for the fans. Any closing remarks and or message, anything you want to say to the fans?
No, I just look forward to them, man. I see them every day. So I really look forward to that first game in the vet. But, hey, come on out to ULM if you can, because – those young men, they are looking forward to you.
Before you go, I know he said one last thing. I just want to know, Coach, did you have any success recruiting them guys from that running back room? Because I ain't going to lie. Mike Smith, I thought Mike Smith – I ain't know what Mike Smith was going to play. Travis Terrell, we don't know. We don't know. Kobe Boykin, we don't know. Like, have you had any success moving them over? I know Coach Gallen over there, he like, this is what we do.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to leave that with something, but I'm gonna let Coach Gallen have it for now. I'm going to leave with something now. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to leave with something.
That's the infamous Denzel quote. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, man.
Last thing, you mentioned your wife from Baton Rouge, Southern Territory. So Coach D.C. Taylor, okay, his wife. Alkanite. So, all right, I would see her throughout the year, you know, especially at the games in her Jackson State gear, obviously supporting her husband. But I would always tease her, Miss Taylor, I see you in your JSU gear, but I want to see what you're going to be wearing on this Capital City Classic. I want to see. Fast forward, Capital City Classic, she had on the blue and white, the JSU. So, come the Southern game, what is Miss Marshall going to be wearing?
Oh, ain't no question she gonna be wearing Jackson State. Look now, sweetheart. She know. She know. She gonna have that Jackson State gear on. I promise. Now her sister, I can't.
Different story. You can't control that. There you go.
Totally.
Oh my goodness, that's good stuff, Coach. Yes, indeed, man. Tiger Nation, hey, man, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Make sure you hit the like button, the share button, hit the subscribe button. Once again, we had Coach Marshall in this thing. Coach, thank you for spending some time with us, man. We'll see you at one of these workouts soon, man.
Man, I can't wait to see you again, man. I look forward to it.
All right. Go Tigers. Go at the yard. Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.